My name is Pastor Iman. My husband and I serve as the campus pastors at Victory North. Any Victory North people in the house? Listen, we're one house, many rooms. And every Sunday at 11 a.m., I get to join with some of our friends who are in this room and see God move. And you know, there's been miracles, signs, and wonders happening at Victory North. I'm here to tell you, we have seen cancer removed off of people's life. Miss Faith is in the corner as a living witness that cancer had to come off when the glory of God showed up. We shared a few weekends ago, there was a young girl whose mother, Dejana, who's now a member of the church, who was healed from cancer. She had a lump in her throat. It was something that was going on with one of her lymph nodes, and it was a large mass, and I could feel it. And as I was praying for her, she asked me to pray for her, and I felt it. And we prayed, and we touched, and we agreed. And within a couple weeks, she came running up to me. She said, "Pastor Iman, look, it's gone." Listen, God is willing to heal adults. He wants to heal children. He wants to heal young people. He wants to heal us at every age. And I believe that there is an assignment on this service tonight for miracles, signs, and wonders. Can I tell you, I've been praying into this room. Not just today, but for days and weeks, I've been praying into what God wants to do. I've been praying for the glory of God to touch down in this place. Is there anybody who came in here hungry for the glory of God to be revealed in your life? You don't want to be a bystander when the Spirit of the Lord is moving in the place. You want to be somebody who accesses what God is doing. Amen. Amen. So I'm excited to share with you today. There are so many things that the Lord has put on my heart. I said, "Lord, what's the lane? I feel like I'm coming in full. What's the lane you want me to go into?" And I've been praying and wrestling with, "Lord, what is it specifically?" And I believe that the Lord has given me clear lane and clear direction, and I'm excited to get into it. I'm going to share an intro, and then we're going to get into scripture, but I'll share with you quickly, the title of my message is "The Courage to Believe for Your Miracle." Somebody say, "The courage to believe for my miracle." Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now listen, throughout scripture, we see that miracles took on many forms and means of releasing the power of God that was readily available in Jesus. Jesus was fully God, but also man, and as he moved throughout the earth for his 33 years, there was power at work on the inside of him, and there were times where Jesus was moved with compassion in order to heal those who were in need of healing. Matthew 9, 35 through 36 tells us, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Can I tell you today that we serve a living Savior who is moved with compassion about your situation? He is not sitting up on the throne, oblivious to what you are walking through and unconcerned about your need for healing. He is actually a God who moves, and he moves with compassion. I think about the widow at Nain, where she wasn't calling out for a miracle. She was discouraged. Her only son had died, and she was in a funeral procession, and it says that Jesus was moved with compassion and raised her son. She wasn't asking for a miracle, but he noticed that she was hurting, and he was willing to release his power to bring about her healing. I think about the instances where Jesus called people out to be healed. He laid hands on the sick and they recovered. We can also see, just as we heard the story earlier, The healing power of Jesus was not just something that we read about in the Bible, something that happened in the New Testament and different times throughout Scripture, but there are things that God has called us to do to move in His miraculous power in our time. The Great Commission tells us to go into all the world. And it also tells us that these signs will follow those who believe. That they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do I have any witnesses in this place? Who you had somebody lay hands on you when you were sick and you were able to recover? Just let me see by lifting your hands. Yeah. There's some people in this place who are living witness of what God can do and His miraculous power. Yet there are other instances throughout Scripture where the miracles of Jesus required faith activated in courage. There were moments where Jesus was going about His ministry and there were people who called out to Him for a miracle. There was a woman who reached out to the hem of His garment that we'll talk about briefly a little bit later. There were some who were willing to reach out because they said, if He's walking by, if He's in my vicinity, I don't want that power to not be activated in my life. I want to be recipient of the glory of God and the power of God. If it's near me, I want it. Is there anybody in this place that said, if the power of God is moving, I want it? If the Spirit of the Lord is moving, I want it. I don't want to be a bystander to the glory of God. I want to partake in what God is doing, not just in this room, but in this generation. I believe Pastor Ashley was right, and I agree that there is an anointing and a power on this next generation. And it is up to us to encourage what they are doing and how they are moving by the Spirit. How many of us know that there is one message, but there may be different methods in which that message is communicated? There are different ways that this new generation may be sharing the gospel, but yet that gospel is true as they're sticking to the Scripture. You see, I believe that it requires courage to step out and ask for healing. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about, again, the courage to believe for your miracle. I'm going to pray and then we're going to move forward. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that I will increase and You will decrease. I thank You that Your Spirit is already here. I thank You that Your miraculous power is already at work. God, we ask for miracles, signs, and wonders. We ask for physical healing, emotional healing, heart healing, mind healing, restoration of marriages, restoration of relationships, restoration of hope, restoration of courage. To believe You after we've been disappointed, after we've been hurt, after the courage collapsed, we're asking You, God, do a work in this place. Move how You want to move. Do what You want to do. I surrender myself to You, God. And I thank You that I have brothers and sisters in Christ right here in this room who are also surrendered, not just to see what You want to do, but to allow their hands, their prayers to become the point of contact for what You want to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, courage, I want to talk to you a little bit about courage and define what courage is and get into four examples in Scripture of the miracles of Jesus that really display the importance of the power of courage to believe God for a miracle. Oftentimes when we think about faith and we think about activating our faith, that word courage, that was something that came to me and I said, Lord, courage? It's not something that we hear often when it relates to faith, but how many of you know that faith in the face of fear requires courage? And so the word courage is defined as a mental or moral strength. I hope you're taking notes today because we're going somewhere. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. It is strength in the face of pain or grief. It requires courage to activate your faith and walk it out. It takes courage to be the whole version of who God has called you to be. Did you hear what I said right there? It takes courage to be the fullness of the original design that God had in mind when He created you. It's easy to be a broken version. It's easy to allow yourself to stop believing when it gets tough. But it takes courage to have the faith to withstand the process, to become the whole person that God has called you to be. I believe there are some people in this room who have been facing an attack not only against their faith to believe, but their courage in the face of adversity. But after tonight, I said after tonight, I hope y'all are awake because I've been praying for you. After tonight, it's breakthrough time. Your courage is gonna be restored. Your faith is being activated. So I wanna look at these four miracles of Jesus that display courage, and my prayer is that you will be equipped and strengthened in your process of believing God for healing. The first example of the miracle that we want to talk about is the man healed at the pool of Bethesda. You can turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 5. Yeah, yeah. We get excited about the word at Victory if it's your first time. Some people get excited at the game, but we get excited when the word breaks out. Because we know there's power in the word of God. In this example of the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus had went up to Jerusalem during the time of a feast of the Jews. And in Jerusalem, there was a sheep gate where there was a pool by the sheep gate where multitudes of people who were sick were waiting for the movement of the water. It says that the angel of the Lord went down at a certain time and whoever went into the water first was healed. And so we come upon this man in John. All right, we're going to keep going. You got it? Listen, when I tell you I'm ready to go, I don't care if we got a mic. I've been praying for y'all, and I believe God wants to do something. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity of 38 years. That was around the same time in which the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. 38 years dealing with the same issue. 38 years. But when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool, but when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. It sounds to me like he was discouraged, but also making excuses, because after 38 years, you got to find a way to get up there. But let's see what Jesus had to say in response to his response to Jesus' question. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately, somebody say immediately, immediately the man was made well. Now the Amplified translation, I love it, it says, and recovered his strength. I believe there may be somebody in this room who needs a recovery of their strength. Not just a physical healing, but a recovery of your inner strength, your fortitude, your strength. It says he rose up immediately, was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The question here stands to be this. Are you ready to abandon how you see yourself and now receive the faith for your healing? Something that we have to understand about healing and about being made well is that there is a responsibility on the other side of your healing. Once you're healed and you take up your bed and you walk, you are no longer in this place where you're able to just lay back and wait for things to happen. There's a responsibility to be whole. And we see with him being in that situation and being discouraged and having excuses, there came that point where he had to take up his mat and walk it out and receive his healing and forget about the excuses. And he immediately rose. It took courage to walk out the miraculous healing. Sometimes we just think, okay, he just walked off, but you have to understand he walked into a new lifestyle. He walked into the responsibility of taking care of his life, of finding a livelihood, of living a life, of paying for things and being a responsible person. Can I tell you, there's a responsibility on the other side of your wholeness. As I was studying, I love this point that was brought out. It says that as he took up his mat and was healed on the Sabbath, that mat was a resting place. And rest can become a realm in which you dwell in, rather than just a position of sleep. Did you know that you can operate and live your life in a place of rest? In a mindset of peace. Experiencing all that God has for you. I put here, rest can be a realm you dwell in rather than a state of stagnation and immobility. You can rest in your state of healing. The second example is a woman with the issue of blood and Jairus. I know we've touched on this before. I know I've shared on this before. But there's something that I want to speak to as it relates to this story. You can turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. We see that there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather got worse. But when she heard about Jesus, has anybody ever been down to their last, but you heard about Jesus? Has anybody ever spent money to get well and it seemed like you got worse, but then you heard about Jesus, the great physician who was able to do more than any natural physician can do? And it says when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. What I see with this woman with the issue of blood is that she had a confession and she had a vision. She believed that if she could touch and access just the hem, not even him, just the hem, she believed that there was power available to meet her need. She may not have had a lot of strength. She might have been weak in her pursuit of his hem. She might have been down to nothing and not had a lot of money, but can I tell you, she wasn't focused on what she didn't have. She did have a flow of blood. She was down to her last, but she had a hand that was willing to go and reach out to the hem of his garment, and she had a vision of what could happen when she did. Do you have a vision for what can happen when your faith comes into alignment with God's power? Do you have a vision of the healed version of you? Do you have a vision of the totality of what God wants to do in your life? And is that vision clear enough to compel you to action? It takes courage to step out. And for this woman, it took courage to go through the crowd. It was against the law for her to be out because she was bleeding. At that time, women, while they were on their flow of blood, their cycle, they were told to stay home. It was law to stay home, but she just said, you know what? By any means necessary, I can't lay down and die like this. By any means necessary. I think about Esther that said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going and I'm asking. And I have enough faith to believe that when I step into it, my faith is able to release the power that is available, not just for everybody in the crowd, but for me. Can I tell you, God wants to touch you. For every person who may have noticed that there's people around you being healed and has testimonies, and they're excited about what God is doing in their life, but you feel left out. You feel uncertain about when your time will come. I'm here to tell you that sometimes God will position somebody else's miracle right in front of you, not to discourage you, but to give you courage, to encourage you, to believe for what God is able to do in your life. And we see this in this very story. Because as she was receiving her miracle, Jairus was receiving news that his daughter had died. What do you do when you watch other people get blessed and you come up with a loss? Jairus was facing a crossroads where he could either be discouraged and stuck in comparison, or he could allow what happened in front of him to activate and motivate his faith even further and to be encouraged. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, only believe. I want to give a moment right here during the service to activate some of your faith. And we've got two more stories we're going to share. But just as this part of the sermon is coming forth, I want to give some live encouragement to some people who are in this room, who may be facing a trial or a tribulation in your life, and you feel like everybody around you has been blessed and you're wondering, will you have a turn? I want to ask people in this room, if you have been healed from an incurable disease, would you please stand? I want you to see those those who are standing as a living witness to you that when the doctor says it's over, when the news comes up and says, wait, your daughter's gone, that there are some people in this room who are saying, when they told me, I wasn't gonna make it. Mercy said no. God said it wasn't my time. He allowed me to be healed from an incurable disease. You may be seated. If you're in this place and you were struggling in your marriage at a certain time of your life, and you have seen God heal that marriage, and you have seen a restoration of the love between the two of you, I want you to stand up in this place as a bold witness. Come on. Hallelujah. They are standing as a witness for anybody in this place who was saying, I'm ready, I'm on the brink of giving up. I'm tired of keeping this covenant. This commitment is too hard. There's some people in this room that are here as a living witness to tell you, stand strong and trust God for a miracle in your relationship, in your marriage. You may be seated in this place. I want to ask any woman who has been able to have a child when they told you you couldn't, when they said your womb couldn't be open, I want you to stand up in this place. I see you standing. I see you standing. I see you standing. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. We serve a God who will make a way when there seems to be no way. We serve a God who says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So when they said that the women that are standing couldn't conceive, God said, I already know who they got coming. I already know about that baby on the way. Doctor's report can say what they want to say, but I already know the child that's on the way. Can I tell somebody in this place? If you're believing God for a miracle in your womb, you got ladies that are standing as a witness that he's able to do the impossible. I believe there are many miracles throughout this room that we all could testify of. And I love that the scripture says about Jesus and his power and his miraculous works. They said, we wrote what we could, but if we were to write everything that he did, all the books in the world couldn't contain what God was doing, what Jesus was doing while he was among us on the earth. Can I tell you, he is still working and still moving. So don't be discouraged while you're waiting. Know that God is moving and there is an appointed time for your miracle. I can think about my own life. Before I get into the next two, I am standing before you as a cancer survivor myself. My mother had a dream of me in a casket. My brother had dreamt that I died. Junior at ORU, just trying to live right, left Michigan, Detroit area, saying, I gotta get out of this environment and position myself in an environment of faith so that I can live the life that God has called me to, because if I stay where I am, it ain't gonna end up well. That's a word for somebody right there. If you stay where you are and you recognize that the soil is trying to oppose the growth that God has for you, you got to remove yourself. And so I came here as a 17-year-old young lady coming from Michigan. Parents dropped me off, drove away, and I recognized, okay, I'm out here for real now. My parents gone back to Michigan. I'm in Tulsa. All right, here we go. And I began to seek God and I began to focus on my relationship with Him. And there were moments where I took some turns and I started making choices that the Lord had to correct me and say, hey, if you follow down that path, you're going to begin to go back to some of the things that you were experiencing or struggling with where you were. And so I got to a place where I said, all right, I'm going to get serious about Him. And as I did, I made some adjustments and I began to obey what God was telling me to do. I want to pause right there and even say that when it comes to the miraculous power of God, there are moments that require your obedience to His instructions. If I had time, I would talk to you about John chapter 2, when He turned the water into wine and He was invited to a wedding, but not really involved in the wedding. And when the miracle, when they came where they were running out of wine, His mother came and said, hey, they ain't got any wine. He said, what's that got to do with me and you? And she just went, whatever He says, do it. And they began to obey what He said. And he said, get the 6 water pots and fill them. And they filled them to the brim. How many of you know when you fill it to the brim, you're going to get a full miracle too? Wait a minute. I think about had they filled it just a little bit, that measure would have been the measure of the miracle. But they decided to fill it to the brim. And then there was another instruction. He said, go out and serve to the master of the ceremony. And it took courage for them to do that too, didn't it? I'm sure they were like, oh my gosh, I hope this works because this is going to be embarrassing. If he sips some water, we embarrassed. But when he did, the master of the ceremony said, usually, after everyone has had their drink and had their fill, you bring out the lower wine, the lesser, not the best. But you've saved the best for last. And the interesting thing I see about that is that not everybody recognized that a miracle was taking place. It was actually the servants who got to see the miracle. It was those who were following instructions. And so while I was here, the Lord gave me different instructions about things I needed to do to get in alignment with His will. Some of you know my story where He was saying, all right, you got to cut. I know you like to do fashion and stuff, but you're not going to do that right now. No makeup, no cute clothes, no high heels. And the worst part, He said, no weave. I said, God. Some of the sisters in the room know what I'm talking about. I said, that's asking a lot. I just need one track for my bang because it's not long enough. But I began to be obedient. And I began to shift into a realm of understanding and knowing Jesus that I hadn't been in before. But even in the middle of that season, around Easter time, I woke up coughing up blood on Easter Sunday. And I found out after a week's time of coughing droplets of blood in my hand that I probably should go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor. They told me you have a large mass in your left lung that needs to be removed. I called my parents. They had moved from Detroit to Dallas. They came and picked me up, and I had to undergo surgery. They removed half of my left lung. I had to relearn how to walk, talk, eat, and drink. They told me if you can walk from your hospital room down the corner and back, we'll let you go home. So I would practice walking with my father real slow. And then I would get weary and I said, Dad, we got to go back. I can't do it. But I was determined not to let my life end like that. Because there were some things that I believe that God has shown me about my future. And I made a decision that I don't want to just stay in this place. And there was a time too where I was believing God for just a moment of a miracle. I really wanted just like, I'm watching somebody on TV and they're like, there's a girl who's watching, you're about to be in surgery. God's healing you right now. That's what I wanted. But my miracle was a process that I had to walk out. And for 6 months after my surgery, I would walk kind of like this because it was too hard to straighten up. I couldn't talk above a whisper. I would be in chapel where I used to sing Our Souls of Fire, and I'd be like, "Hallelujah, Jesus." And I could barely even lift my voice. But I found a scripture in Isaiah as an anchor for my confession. And it says, "I will lift up my voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid." And as I was walking through my own healing process, I was determined to anchor on the truth of that scripture that was hiding in Isaiah. It wasn't during a miracle. It wasn't during something that everybody knew about. I just started to search about voice, and I stumbled upon that scripture, "Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid." And as I stood on that scripture, over time, the Lord restored my voice to what you're hearing today. It's personal for me when we talk about healing, because I know what it's like to be sick, and I know what it's like to be a young person who's sick. And you feel like you're really like, "Wait, I'm young. Why am I sick? Why am I going through surgery? Why am I in the hospital and everybody else is on mission trip to the Bahamas? I couldn't go. Y'all know I was mad." And yet my dad went to church around that time one Sunday, and he came home and reminded me of the story that was shared, where they shared the story that said, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" He said, "Nobody sinned. It's so that the glory of God would be revealed." And I believe that the glory of God is ready and able to be revealed in this place today. I believe that there is an assignment for a restoration of courage in this place. Quickly, in Mark 9, you can just write this down, Mark 9, verses 21 through 27, it talks about the boy who was healed from demonic oppression. And his father said to Jesus, after having been disappointed that the disciples couldn't heal him, after trying to do what he could for his son and seeing that he had dealt with this mute spirit since childhood, he said, "Jesus, if you have compassion, if you're able, have compassion on us, help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Can I tell you that God can do a work with just a little bit belief? And he's also willing and able to help you with your unbelief, with your disappointment. When you've tried one way and it didn't work, and now you're believing again, and it's having to take courage to even ask God again for the same thing you've been asking him for all along. I'm talking to somebody today. Lastly, blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. There was a man, when they'd come to Jericho, beginning as verse 46, they'd come to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho and his disciples, with his disciples in a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have pity, have mercy on me." And many severely censured and reproved him, telling him to keep still. But he kept on shouting out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage. Get up. He's calling you." And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. I found it powerful that he recognized that Jesus was the Son of David, and he didn't let anything or anybody shut him up from calling out for his miracle. He may have been blind, but he wasn't mute. I don't even have time for all the things I got in my heart to tell you. I don't. But what I want to encourage you with from his example is you've got to work what you got. You've got to have the courage to say, "I'm going to go after the miracle no matter what. Even if they want to keep me silent, even if they don't believe for my miracle, I'm willing to ask. And I'm willing to keep calling out because I want my faith to get Jesus' attention." And I found it so powerful that even before he received his miracle, it says that he took off his outer garment. That outer garment represented his life as a beggar. And so he said, "I'm already ready to transition out of who I used to be." He recognized, "This is my moment." And this beggar garment, it's gotta go. And you know what he did? He threw it off. He said, "I'm not gonna be identified by what I've been dealing with anymore. I've already received the miracle when I knew that he called me. Because if he called me, he's not gonna leave me hanging. He's gonna do the miracle, what I'm believing for." And that's exactly what he did. Four things to activate your courage, and then we're gonna pray. If you can put all four up, and that way we have opportunity for anybody to write it down or to screenshot. Yeah. How to activate the courage to believe. You've got to remember who Jesus is and what he's able to do. You've got to see yourself healed and envision the manifestation of your miracle. You've got to find a scripture to meditate on and speak in faith. I found that scripture in Isaiah. You got to find your word to stand on and to meditate on so that you replace the thoughts of the circumstances and the report with what the word has to say. And fourth, you got to believe in your heart for God's will to be done in your life. God's will to be done. Not my will, yours be done. I want to invite you to stand as we take the time to activate this message and believe God for a miracle. How many of you received the word of the Lord today? I believe that there is an assignment for healing in this place. I believe that there is power available, not just for physical healing, but for healing of the heart, for emotional healing, mental healing, but also the healing of the restoration of your courage. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand in this place and say, "That's me. I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for a miracle. I need restoration in my courage. I've been so discouraged. I've been asking God, and it feels like I'm not sure if he's hearing me. But I'm willing to stretch my faith one more time. And then another time. And then again. To believe God to bring a healing into my life." So at the count of three, I want to invite every person who raised their hand or needed to raise their hand, to come up out of their seat as a declaration saying, I'm not gonna allow discouragement to hold me back. I am activating my faith with motion. It's a motion-activated faith tonight. One, come on up to this altar. I see some of you hungry and you ready. Two, we serve a God of compassion who has a heart for your healing, who is moved by your faith, and he is seeing you in your circumstance. Three, I want you to come up to this altar as close as you can. And for some of you, you may have to be like blind Bartimaeus, where you take a moment right here, right now, and you just begin to cry out to God and say, God, I'm believing you for my healing. I need your power at work in my life. If you're one of our altar ministry workers or approved for volunteering, I want to encourage you to find somebody prayerfully that you can pray for in this moment. I hear the Lord saying, some of you have been coping with your issue, where you've been finding a means and a ways to just get by. God is saying, I'm ready to fully heal you, fully restore you, not to cope with it, not to keep it on your shoulder and play around, but to be completely healed. If you need a touch and a miracle in your physical body, I want you to lift your hand up right here in this place. Lift it up high. Father God, we speak in the name of Jesus for miracles, signs, and wonders to be manifested in this place. I thank you that you are healing elbows. Somebody's been having an issue with their elbow, that you're bringing healing. You are strengthening weak knees. Somebody's knees have been bothering them. God, I thank you that you are activating your healing power in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that there are also some who heard the testimony from the young man in sixth grade, and at the time you weren't ready to believe for your healing, but now the Lord is saying, I'm releasing it. Align your faith with my will to heal you in your eyes. If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah. We declare healing of eyesight in the mighty name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against his eyes will prosper. I thank you that you sent forth your word and you brought healing into his vision. We declare 2020 vision in the name of Jesus for every person who is believing God for a miraculous touch in their vision and in their eyesight. Those who are at this altar, if you were responding, needing a courage renewal, needing your courage to be strengthened, lift your hand up. God, I thank you for the healing and the restoration of courage. I thank you that you are mending broken faith, that you are strengthening weak faith and little faith and broken faith, that you are breaking off the spirit of disappointment and discouragement in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for an anointing that is flowing to restore courage where the enemy wanted to bind up. We speak freedom in Jesus' name. Activate. Activate. God is activating your faith. Activate. Some of you just being up at this altar or even being in this room, you're shaking off the discouragement. You're shaking off the disappointment. You're shaking off that spirit of infirmity. I hear the Holy Spirit saying to ask, if you know that as a result of this moment, you have experienced a miraculous touch from the Lord where you have received a healing and you can do something that you couldn't do, or you could see something that you couldn't see, I want you to lift your hand in this place. Yeah. I know in my spirit that not every miracle is physically manifested. And he told me that there was work being done on the inside. That he's at work to heal hearts today, as well as heal bodies. To correct your vision enough to start believing him for what you can't see with your natural eyes. To begin to see with the eyes of faith. Can I tell you, he is releasing supernatural vision in this place. I decree in the name of Jesus, a restoration of your vision, a restoration of your faith, the ability for you to see, and not only see, but to believe what you see, that God is able to do it. And even if it didn't work in the past, even if you've been waiting for a long time, I hear God saying, access granted. Access granted. Access granted. The time is now. The time is now. If you believe it in your spirit, I want you to give God 30 seconds of praise. Just as a sign. Spirit saying there are some of you that you are ready to be activated for God's power to be working through you. I see you. I see you in the spirit. If that's you, lift your hand up. All over this room. You're saying, I don't want to just hear about the miracle. I want to be involved in what God is doing for miracles, signs, and wonders in my generation. I want to receive the mantle for the gift of healing in my life, not just for me, but for the people around me. I want to have the courage to step out and believe God for miracles. I want you to say this after me. Say, God, I receive what you're doing in my generation, and I ask for activation in my life. Miracles, signs, and wonders through my hands, through my giving, through my eyes. Move through me, God. I'm not just waiting on a miracle. I want to be a miracle. I want you to use me to bring your power to my generation. In the name of Jesus, and every spirit the work in me, I shake it off and I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I set my own self free today in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know who that's for. is ready to use you. He's ready to use you this week. He's bringing a healing in your life, not just to be healed, but to be activated in praying for other people from a place of faith. Because you've seen him move before. You've seen him operate in your life. And now you're ready to be moved with compassion. Now you're ready to be activated. Miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm gonna pray. I hear the Lord saying that my assignment for this moment is complete, but I believe that there are still things that the Lord is doing in our midst. So for time, we're gonna take a moment to pray and to close out the service. But if you are in this place and you are believing God for a miracle and you're just asking for somebody to pray with you, or you just need to linger a little bit longer, I wanna invite you to stay. If you have children, please feel free to bring them from Kids Church into this atmosphere. The worship team will continue to pray and to minister, but I think in this moment there are some that need to stand and just receive what God has brought into this moment. Thank you for your restoration power, God. God, I thank you that your spirit is moving throughout this place. I thank you that as your word has gone forth, it has brought courage to your people who have been discouraged. That it has brought faith to those who were lacking in their faith or saying, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I thank you that you are helping people to step out of unbelief and into belief. And that you are reminding us that there's a miracle in our hands too. There's something that you want to do, not just for us, but through us. And part of the miracle is just to believe that God could do it through a vessel like me. So I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing restoration of sight for how we see ourselves. Not with the beggar's cloak, not on the mat, not the woman with the issue, but the one who you want to use to bring healing and to activate healing around us. God, I thank you that you're continuing to move through this place. And as miracles are taking place, I thank you that those who are experiencing those miracles will tell somebody what God has done, will share what God is doing, and declare that he's not done yet. We thank you for it now, God. We seal your word. In Jesus' name, amen.